praise the Lord. Well, we'll be reading out of Galatians chapter 6.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessing, Lord. Blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
So I guess we can stand for the read just a few verses. Read at Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now verse, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. Verse 17. That'll be seated.
Hallelujah.
Just going to pray again. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Jesus.
Thank you, God, for the house of God. We gather together and worship you, Lord. Even as the apostles gathered and said, Lord, now are we all here gathered before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to hear and understand. Help us to arrest our consciences, arrest our minds, arrest our hearts, arrest our spirit. Please just commune with us, Lord. You said, if any man speak, let us speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that Jesus Christ and all things may be glorified. Help us, Lord. Take the eyes of our understanding. We may understand your word. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass. The glory of the Lord may be changed into your same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Help us to hear your commandments, Lord. Help us to heed your commission, God. Pray you would just, may the word of God have free course and be glorified in every heart. Speak to us, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you alone all the glory and praise. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Well, he says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the churches in Galatia. And mainly this epistle is refuting this doctrines or these false doctrines, Judaism, Judaizers coming into the church and giving these doctrines, telling the Christians that they got to keep the law to be saved, that they got to be circumcised. And you all know this, that there's certain ceremonies, feasts, practices, things that the apostles have not taught, saying that they got to do these things to be saved. And he says in verse chapter 1, verse 6, he says, he gets right into it. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he says he's marveling that they're so quickly, so soon removed that their faith is translated, that they're removed, that in fact they actually dismiss and reject and desert the true faith. They're actually deserting God. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So indeed, he's saying it's not another gospel. It's a form of the gospel, but it is indeed and in fact not the gospel, but perverted gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a twisted gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And then he says, verse 8, but the we are an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel to you, then that which we have preached unto you, let it be a curse. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that ye have received, let it be accursed. So that's the result. That's the choice that ought to be made for preaching this other gospel. Now I'm going to read a passage in Acts 15. When this matter came to the apostles which were at Jerusalem, this is what they said of it. Acts 15, starting at verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, in Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, have troubled you with words. This troubling. Subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know the results of the conclusion when they met and discussed this issue. Now, this word trouble is meaning, it means to agitate or to cause inward commotion, to cause grief, to cause fear. And the fear could even be for, the commotion could be for fear, anxiety, but mainly fear. Now, in Galatians 2:3 says, I'm not going to go through the whole book, but Galatians 2:3 says, but now the Titus who is with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren brought in unawares who came in privily to spoil our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:3, another verse that's talking about this troubling and this issue. Galatians 3:1 first. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So he's saying they're bewitched. They've been deceived by dismissing and deserting this true doctrine. In Galatians 4:9, again he says, but now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements of the world, wherein ye desire to be in bondage? So there's a bondage that's going on. There's a bondage, and the comparison is being free in Christ, having liberty in Christ, and being bound by the law. Being bound by the law, being free in Christ, being a slave to the law, or being a slave, yet free in Christ. Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled therein again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. So he's talking about this bondage. But so this is the words that are being spoken. So, and he goes on, and he talks about justification. He mentions it, explains that justification is by faith. We all know this. Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 5:4, Christ become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, we are fallen from grace. So he gives in details the true doctrine and of the gospel that's been preached related to the law and keeping the law and this thing of circumcision. And then he ends, he mentions a word like bondage. He mentions a yoke. He mentions our liberty. In Acts 15, he said, neither a pit, why pit on the neck, a yoke on the neck of the disciples. And then in verse 17, he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So what is he saying? He's saying, you've been troubled. Men are coming in, troubling you, persuading you, causing this commotion, causing this dissension in the church. And men are tempted to go back in a bondage. To be tempted to leave the freedom and liberty in Christ and go back in a bondage. And this verse, I believe, gives Paul's, it discloses some of Paul's driving force, his motivating factor of his love and devotion, his personal devotion to Christ. The man that fast outside of Jesus Christ, I believe this, probably fast more than anybody, wept more than anybody, prayed more than anybody, preached more than anybody, probably won more converts than anybody. So this verse, it says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. So he's saying, in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What does that mean? He said he's traveling in birth. There's a grief. There's an anguish. There's an anguish in his soul because he cares for the church and that Christ might be born, formed in him again. Some of them probably backslid. Some of them probably never were saved. But he's traveling in birth like a woman in pain to be delivered until Christ be formed in you. So the same troubling that they're feeling, the same troubling that's affecting them, is the same troubling that he's bearing. But he's saying now, This is what I'm saying to you. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, what does marks mean? Marks is, he's saying he's branded. The context is branded. He's wearing the logo of a slave. He's wearing the mark, the branding of Jesus Christ. So he says, let no man trouble me, because I am a slave to Christ. So it is impossible for me to go back and be a slave to the law. Jesus said no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one or love the other. He will hold to the one or despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So he said he's a slave to Christ. And in this time, think about it. The Greeks, they branded their slaves, mainly runaway slaves, with a delt on their head. It was punishment. It was visible. It was pain. It was grief. The Romans, they branded their slaves with a FUG on the head, or F, for fugitive. This was a visible outward show of the pain they went through, the suffering, and that showed that they were a slave to their master. And later on, the Puritans, they branded certain individuals that was caught in adultery with an A on their head. Or, like James Naylor, a Quaker, who professed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, professed to be Christ. They tried him in a court. He was found guilty. They branded a B on his head for blasphemer. And then they bore his tongue through with a hot iron. But this branding is different. Now, John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were made by Him and for Him. Amen. And Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, because Thou hast created all things, and for Thy glory they are and were created. Man was created for God. We were created for God. The church was established for the glory of Jesus God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that you are bought with a price? We are bought with a price. We are the servants of God. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What does that mean? It says, well, for me to live is Christ. I live because of Christ. I live because of Him, and I not only live because of Him, I live for Him. Paul is saying, his life, his existence, his breath is summed up in one word. Christ. His life. His existence. Why he eats. Why he nurtures his body. Why he washes his body. Why he studies the Bible. Why he preaches. Why he rests for the glory of Jesus Christ. He's saying that is why he preaches. And that is our life. Our life, we are supposed to be sold out for Jesus. We cannot hold anything from God. Or we will go to hell if we hold anything back from Jesus. Everything's all. Psalm 44:22, he says, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what our life, we have to give our life, our head, everything. It's an old hymn that goes all for Jesus. Let my hands perform His bidding. Let my feet run in His ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth His praise. All for Jesus. All my spirit ransom power. All my thoughts and words and doings. All my days and all my hours are for Jesus. And the thing that bothers me the most when I go on these campuses and even some churches, that most people are robbing God. Even Christians are robbing God. Because we're robbing God of how we spend our money. We're robbing God of giving Him the authority to rule over our lives. Young people are robbing Him of their strength. They're robbing Him of their voices, of their legs. We're robbing God. We have to surrender and give all to God because He's worthy of it. We need to do this. We must obey God. I want to read Acts 26, 24. He's mentioned this branding, this bondage, that he's a slave. He is rightless. He's marked for the rightless. He's saying, I have no rights of my own, no will of my own. He didn't even have a will. 26, starting at verse 24. And Festus, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Alright, so he's got that word Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and all together, such as I am, except these bonds. He's saying both almost. He's saying he wished not only you, but everybody was almost persuaded. And not that they were almost persuaded, but that all of you were in fact fully persuaded and convinced.
Yes.
Being saved. And he says, accept these bonds. So he's saying that being a Christian is bonds. He says he wants you to be bound to Christ. He wants you to be attached to Christ. He wants you to be drawn and stuck and bound, a bondman, a slave to Christ. But not these physical bonds I don't wish on you. But that we ought to be a bondman of Christ. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except unto God, which is a reasonable service. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is dead.
Yeah.
Sacrifice is a dead man.
Yeah.
Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above,
yeah,
not on things on the earth. Why?
Amen.
For you are dead,
right,
and your life is here with Christ in God. And Christ,
amen,
who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
We're waiting. We're slaves to Christ.
Right.
Christ, our master, gets the glory. God gets the glory of our lives. God wants to get the glory of how we spend our money.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So what it boils down to, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Yeah.
The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why? Because Christ died for him.
Right.
We need to remember that Christ died for us.
Right.
We are debtors, brothers and sisters.
Right.
We're debtors of Christ.
Yeah.
We owe him. John Wesley wrote, Charles Wesley, and can it be that I should gain an interest in a Savior's blood who died for me, who caused his pain? For me, to him, death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Sometimes we forget that Christ, I'm sure we don't forget that, but we forget that there's a judgment coming.
Right.
A judgment of how we live our lives.
Yeah.
A lot of people just think we're just going to walk on the pearly gates.
Right.
And we're not going to be judged.
Right.
For we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Why? That every man may give an account of his deeds done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil.
Right.
Sinners don't do good. Sinners aren't going to be judged for their good because they don't do good. That's talking about we're going to be judged.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
How are we spending our time? How are we spending our lives? What are we devoted to?
Yeah.
What do we spend the most time doing?
Come on.
Or What do we want to spend the most time doing? So we need to crucify ourselves. Like Brother Messer said, crucify our flesh. We need to crucify and nail all these temporal agendas, all these selfish ambitions that's hanging the church, and nail them to the cross.
Right.
Yeah. We need to be firmly, fastly nailed unto Jesus.
Right.
We need to spend more time in prayer.
Yeah.
That's why the church is so slack. Ian Bounds wrote, he said, it is no marvel. It is no marvel that most of the work in the church is failing, because most of the work being done in the church are done by prayerless people.
Oh.
We need to pray.
Right.
We need to spend time in prayer.
Right.
And if you think about it, look around in the U.S. In this day and hour, we sleep with pillows. We got mattresses. I doubt any of the apostles had posturpedic mattresses. we can rest better. We got stoves, fire, electricity. We can eat faster. We can eat quicker. We got shelter. We should be stronger. Medicines, vitamins. We should be stronger, healthier, to work more. We got pews, rugs, carpets, heat, AC. All the circumstances today in the U.S. are... the circumstances today in the U.S. for the church has never been more accommodating to a prayerful life. Yet we pray probably less than all other generations put together. So what it boils down to is our personal devotion to Christ. So we need to keep this mindset that we are debtors to Christ, bondmen, slaves. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I'm a slave to Christ. I am rightless. I am a debtor to my master. And my master is not some grieving taskmaster like Pharaoh or the devil. He consoles us. So therefore, I have no reason to serve another master. I have no reason to serve myself. You can't give me a good enough reason to go back and serve in the Lord. Because I'm a debtor to Christ. I'm a bondman to Christ. I'm attached to Him. Marks. What are these marks? Well, there are a few things. But we know it's His sufferings. We know it's His persecutions. We know it's His stripes. We'll read 2 Corinthians 11. What is God looking for? God's not looking for degrees. God's not looking for diplomas. God's looking for stripes, wounds, scars, lacerations. Second Corinthians 11, verse 23. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak of the fool. I am more. This is what qualified him as a minister of God. This is what qualified him as a top slave for Jesus. For the general next to Jesus. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Most people think if you're a preacher, you ain't supposed to be in jail. If you get arrested, I know in the outdoors preaching, a campus preaching crowd, a lot of them think if you get arrested, you're doing something wrong. If people hate the message, you're doing something wrong. What did the Bible say? Acts 26:20, Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and for all these causes, the Jews caught me in a temple and went about to kill me. Acts 9 says, Peter said he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to kill me. Now the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. Pearls, pearls, pearls. Makes him the minister of Christ. But him enduring them. Pearls of our own countrymen. Pearls of the heathen. And pearls in the city. Pearls in the wilderness. Pearls in the sea. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This is what made him a minister of Christ. This is his marks. The fact that he received his persecution and his suffering for Jesus, and he bore it. He said, I bear in my body. I undergo it. I withstand it. I endure it. I endure in my body the marks for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he died for me. I can endure anything for him. If Paul can do it, we can do it. Let's encourage us. Paul's a man of Paul's flesh and blood like we are. And he endured it. It's coming. We're going to have to endure it.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Acts 26, 22 and 23. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, saying none other thing than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should rise from the dead. And that should be the first that should rise from the dead the third day. Philippians chapter 1 verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets, having inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Sufferings of Christ. In 2 Peter 2:21 he said, for even here unto where you call, because Christ also suffer us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he reviled not again. When he suffered, When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. So enduring persecution, enduring trials, temptation, whatever that may be, and patience equals perfection. It equals spiritual maturity. It equals growth. And it equals perfection when we're glorified. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He said, by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Hebrews 5:8-9 says about Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Philippians 1:29. For it is given to you, not only on behalf of Christ to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name. We must endure this suffering. Now, dear gossips, read Philippians chapter 1. He's talking about this bond. He's talking about being in bonds. And we know in the epistle to the Philippians, Paul was in jail. And those jails then are not like jails today. It's not slab, concrete, bars, AC. he's probably sitting next to a dead man. He probably had a skeleton of a man in a position of prayer right next to him. Dark, dirty, stinking dungeon. And the word rejoices in the book of Philippians more than any other book in the Bible. He's writing from a stinking, dirty dungeon saying rejoice.
Yeah.
He's in bond in Christ saying rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
Yeah.
A man is locked in prison writing people that's free and saying rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than being in bond to Christ. There's nothing more pleasurable than being in bond to Christ. There's nothing more glorifying. There's nothing more pleasing. There's nothing that will give you more peace, more joy than knowing that you're in the will of God doing his will. Young people need to know this the most. You're not going to get no peace in the world, no pleasure in the world, no satisfaction in the world. The only satisfaction you're going to get is serving God, being in chains to God. How? By love. I'm a bondman to Christ. How? By love. I'm chained to him. I'm chained to Christ by the golden chains of love. Hallelujah. He's in love with Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:8. He said, verse 9, cast down but not forsaken, persecuted but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my flesh. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, while that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in my mortal flesh. Sufferings, enduring persecutions, enduring near death, glorifies God. It magnifies the grace of God. Paul said, I will not suffer the grace of God. I will not suffer to frustrate the grace of God. It magnifies Christ. So in Philippians, verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, all partakers of my grace. So he's mentioned these bonds that he has in Christ. And Philippians 3 says, chapter 1. Verse 13, his enduring these persecutions. What was the result? What was some of his results of this? Well, God will mightily magnify his ministry and his office and his works and his labors and what he done. Verse 12, he says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, his persecution, his beatings, his arrest, that happened to me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. He said, my bonds But what did he say? His bonds, his chains, the fact that he's jailed? Well, it says his bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. This man is attached to Christ.
Yeah.
We threaten him with death. We threaten him with suffering. We threaten him with beheading. We threaten him with killing his family. But it says his bond, this man is not, you can't detach from Christ. He is bonded to Christ and all of Caesar's palace know it. His bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. In verse 14, that many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. His bonds in Christ, his attachment to Christ, and all the persecutions, all the suffering, all the threatenings, is emboldening the brethren of the Lord to preach the word of God. It's empowering them. Why? Because he can do it. He's not going to can't Christ. He's not going to remember can't his name. He's willing to die for Jesus. Well, we can do it too. There must be something in Jesus, something about being a slave to Jesus that bonds him, that attaches him, that connects him.
Yes.
With Jesus.
Come on, yeah. Hallelujah.
And it emboldened the church. And some of the results are in the last chapter. I'm closing soon. So he's saying, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He undergoes. He's withstanding. He said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. Nothing can move him from being slave to Christ. Nothing can detach him. No Jewish rabbi, no priest, no other gospel, which is not another gospel, no revelation, no angel, no other doctrine. False doctrines were coming to church. Men were getting feared. Are we wrong? Deserting the faith.
Right.
It's the same today.
Right.
False doctrines coming in. Men are deserting the faith because they're not learned. Because
right.
We don't pray. Because we don't spend time in the Bible.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I just like this here in the end of the chapter. So he said his bonds in Christ was manifest in all the palace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. He converted Caesar Augustus' household. He converted some of the king's men. Paul the whole. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You think it's possible to get Obama's family converted? Yes, it can happen.
Oh, yeah. Come on,
but what is it going to take? It's going to take more than what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we do more for Christ? Can each and every one of us do more individually for Christ?
Oh, yeah.
If anybody says, I can't do more for Christ, you're a liar, you're going to hell, the truth is not in you.
Right.
We can all do more for Christ.
Right.
We have to do more.
Right.
We need to pray more, fast more, weep more, sweat more, suffer more, preach more.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the glory of God. Acts 21:13. This was a prophet, took Paul's girdle and bound him. Verse 12, and when he had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only. That's not the end of it. The end is not just being bound to Christ and being so in love with him and devoted to him and having the best personal devotional life imaginable. But that's not the end. And this is the norm. This should be the norm for the Christian. This should be the average Christian life. But today the norm is just not the norm. Today the norm is going through Sunday at afternoon, 7, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, and then sit before the TV until midnight.
Right.
Now the norm is twice a week.
Yeah.
One of the most beneficial things I've ever done was start a prayer log. That's a quick way to see your personal devotion to Jesus Christ. How much do you pray? Write in it every day how much you pray, and at the end of the week say, God, here, this is my sacrifice for you. This is how I live for you. It'll show a lot. It'll show me a lot. Acts 21:13. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, not to just receive these marks and endure them and to bear them and stand them, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So his life, he did not count his life dear unto himself. He said, "Let none of these things move me. Nothing can move me." Why? Because my life is not my own. My will is not my own. My existence, it does not belong to me. It belongs to Jesus.
Right.
When I get up, I simply think about what can I do for Jesus? How can I advance the kingdom of God? Who can I witness to? Who can I preach to? Who can I help? Who can I give money? Who can I share? How can I share my resources in advancing the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Because on judgment day, we're going to give an account for it.
Right.
We're going to give an account.
Yeah.
People that live 50, 60, 70, 80 years and they meet the one that died for them. Hey, this is all I've done. We will regret our lives if we don't take heed how we live. Take heed of our life. Take heed of our service to God. Because we're going to be judged. And we don't want to meet the one that died and gave his life and gave his all. And then we give him almost nothing. We're debtors. Most of us are not going to... let me phrase that. A lot of Christians today in the Christian church world are not even going to be seen as armies. They think they're armies in Christ. Most of the Christians we meet are not even in an army of Christ. But they say they're armies. They say they're warriors. They say they're soldiers. They say they're saints. And most of them are robbers.
Right.
Robbing God. Thieves. Robbing God of his glory.
Yes.
Serving the devil. He that committed sin is of the devil.
Right.
For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
Sin glorifies the devil. That's one thing we got to do.
Yes.
To serve and be bound to Christ. Make sure we live in a sin-free life.
Right.
Absolutely sin-free.
Right.
If you're sinning every day, you're not saved.
Right.
I'm sure most of you believe that.
Yeah.
But Christianity is not an everyday sinning religion. It's not a hypocrisy religion. It's not a religion of weak frailty.
That's right, brother.
Sinning. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not to think?" But we ask students out on the campus, and they say, "Well, because he's not your Lord."
Right.
That's why you don't do what he says.
Right.
We need to make sure we're living spot free. Free from sin. All sin.
Right.
Any sin. Any mark. Any blemish is going to hinder us. Any blemish in our lives. 1 John 3 says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil."
Yes.
How do you know a child of God from a child of the devil? How do you know a saint from a sinner? By a sinful lifestyle.
Right.
By disobedience.
Yes.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:23, what does it say? "He that is bought in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye therefore the servants of men."
Right.
Can't serve ourselves. Definitely can't serve sin. Sin is serving the devil. Or to serve Christ, can have no sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid."
Right.
"How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" I know there's a lot of dispute about sanctification, but Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed. That henceforth, we should not serve sin."
Right.
He that is dead is free from sin.
Yes.
When are you free from sin?
On,
you can get saved and live in sin?
No.
You can get saved and live in sin until you get sanctified?
No.
He that is dead is free from sin. Verse 11, "Likewise, reckon." We got to keep this in our mind. We got to understand it. We got to believe it. We have to accept it. "Reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, these that obey to the lust thereof. Neither yield in your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God."
Hallelujah.
Whether it be instruments, tools, servants, bondmen of Christ, We have to be living a sin-free life. We got to watch ourselves. We got to watch our how much time we sleep. We got to watch our appetite. We got to watch all these things. Discipline.
Yeah.
I read some of John Wesley's, read some of his diary. I marvel at the man's discipline. Every day, went to bed at this hour. Went to bed at the same hour. Woke up at the same hour. Every day. Great established men were coming. They say, cross his legs. They wanted to cross their legs together. You know, eat. Push the chairs back. Have a long conversation. Nope. I got an appointment in the morning, 4 o'clock. Brother Wesley, who you got an appointment with at 4 o'clock in the morning? Got an appointment with God. I never miss it. So Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Yeah. Devoted man, disciplined man, praying man, fasting man, preaching, witnessing man.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
This was being a bondman of Christ. And this is this is just a Christian.
Right.
This is just an average Christian.
Right.
Back in the book of Acts, this was the norm. This was the norm for the Christian.
Yeah.
Now, today, this is the exception. Somebody that's a little too zealous, a little too loud, worships too much, praises a little too much, preaches places most people think you ought not to preach. You ought not to go there. Well, there's sinners there.
Yeah, come on, man.
Now, this is the exception.
Yeah.
But this is the rule of being bound to Christ.
Yeah.
So let's just take heed of our personal life. How do we live? How does Christ look at us? What does he see when he looks down at us? Understand that we're supposed to be rightless. We ought to bear this same mark. Not just wear it, but bear it. Endure it.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable. Thank you for your attention. And let's just really take heed of what God is saying in the Word of God. And do more. That's one thing that encouraged me when I came here, that people want to do more. They want to work for Christ. Some Brother Wood said yesterday that stuck with me, and I shared it with another brother. He said, I'm not interested in holding a fort and just waiting until Jesus come back. Well, neither am I. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the example, Lord, of the saints of God. Many of the apostles, Lord, that lived devoted, that lived sold out, that gave their very lives. The early churchmen, dear God, that gave their heads so we could have this blessed word. Pray your word would penetrate our hearts and deal with us, convict us. He said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges. Speak to us, Lord. Fulfill your word in our lives. Grasp and grip the hearts of every individual in this house. We know that if you have your complete word with our lives, nothing will be impossible. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.